May what I speak, may what you hear be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, did you notice? Jesus compared Herod, that's Herod Antipas, by the way, the son of the other Herod, the one who was king when Jesus was born. In today's gospel, Jesus compares Herod Antipas to a fox. Fox. Go and tell that fox. Go and tell that fox that I'm going to continue on doing what I'm doing, whether he likes it or not. And then just a few moments later, Jesus compares himself, in stark contrast, Jesus compares himself to a hen, a mother hen, longing to gather her baby chicks beneath her wings. So, fox versus hen. Now, I ain't no farmer. And I don't know all that much about foxes and hens, but I know this, and I guess you do too. I know that when a fox and a hen have a face-off, there's usually only one winner, and it ain't the hen. So why did Jesus use these particular metaphors, these particular images, for himself and Herod? Well, as you can imagine, scholars have been debating that one for centuries, making careers out of it. The usual answer, in terms of the fox bit, the fox reference, is pretty straightforward, actually. Scholars tell us that, much like in many other cultures, including our own, so too in the world in which the Gospels were written, the fox was regarded as a clever, crafty animal, yeah, but also a rather sly and unprincipled animal. And so when Jesus called Herod a fox, that's basically what he's saying about him. That he's clever and crafty, all right, but he's also sly and unprincipled. Pretty straightforward. But then what are we to make of this mother hen image which Jesus applies to himself? This, on the face of it, is rather surprising. It is, as far as I can tell, without precedent. As far as I can tell, there are no other references to mother hens in the Bible. There are, of course, lots of references in the Bible to other types of birds. For example, there are lots of references to, for example, eagles. Yeah, lots of references to eagles. Several times, in fact, in Scripture, God is described as being like an eagle. In Deuteronomy, for example, God reminds the children of Israel about how he protected them from their enemies, the Egyptians, in the same way that an eagle protects its young from predators. The eagle, you might say, is a great image for a certain understanding of God, isn't it? Eagles are powerful. Eagles have razor-sharp talons, and they have mighty hooked beaks, and they can swoop down from on high and snatch away their prey. Yeah? Eagles instill fear. Again, I'm no expert, but I imagine that a mighty eagle might just give a fox a run for its money in a fight. Yeah? But Jesus, despite that biblical precedent, Jesus does not compare himself to a mighty eagle. He chooses instead the image of a mother hen. A chicken, basically. With no razor-sharp talons. And no fearsome reputation. And with no way really, to protect itself or its chicks from the fox. The hen's only hope, I suppose, when the fox breaks into the hen house, the hen's only hope is to cover its beloved babies with its wings and hope that if it's eaten first, that maybe that will satisfy the appetite of the fox and it'll leave its babies alone. That's the mother hen's only hope. And in a way, when you think about it, and this perhaps explains why Jesus chose the image of a mother hen, when you think about it, that's kind of what Jesus did. When the time came on that Good Friday, when the foxes of the world, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the chief priests, the soldiers, and all the rest of them, when those final days in Jerusalem, the foxes came for him, Jesus did indeed, you might say, follow the example of the mother hen. The wonderful American writer Barbara Brown Taylor puts it like this. Listen to this. When Herod and his bullies came after Jesus and his brood, he just put himself between them and the chicks, all fluffed up and hunkered down like a mother hen. It may have looked like a minor skirmish to those who were there, but that contest between the chicken and the fox turned out to be the cosmic battle of all time, in which the power of tooth and fang was put up against the power of a mother's love for her chicks. And God bet the farm on the hen. And depending on whom you believe, the hen won. It didn't look that way at first, with feathers all over the place and chicks running for cover. But as time went on, it became clear what had happened. She had refused to run with the foxes. She had refused to become one of the foxes. She died a mother hen. And afterwards, she came back to them with teeth marks on her body to make sure they got the point that the power of the foxes could not kill her love for them, nor could it steal them away from her. They may have to go through what she went through in order to get past the foxes, but she would be waiting for them on the other side with love stronger than death. Beautiful, isn't it? But what a difficult gospel. What a demanding, challenging gospel in many ways. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'd much rather an eagle-like God to a mother hen God. Sometimes I'd much rather a God who, like a powerful eagle, swoops in in every place of pain and injustice and plucks the baddies right out of there and makes everything okay. Sometimes I long, and maybe you do too, for a God who is invulnerable and invincible and who can take on the foxes of this world at their own game and destroy them. And, well, just magically make all the suffering go away. But that's not what we get in Jesus, is it? In Jesus we get, perhaps not much, so much the God we want, as the God we need. In Jesus we get a God who is with us through the inevitable sufferings of life and promises that those sufferings will not have the final word. In Jesus we see a God who, remember, even on Easter Sunday, still carries the scars, the teeth marks of Good Friday. Basically, in Jesus we see a God who is made known to us not so much in unblemished perfection, whatever that is, but made known to us most particularly in brokenness. The broken bread, the wine poured out of Holy Communion. In fact, I was thinking during the week that maybe that central meaning of Holy Communion, remembering and sharing in Christ's brokenness for us, Christ's brokenness with us, maybe that meaning is unintentionally obscured by the way we celebrate Holy Communion. I say that because while there's a moment where I take the large wafer and break it, yeah, and say we share in the body of Christ, the broken body, then when you all come, you all get a perfectly round, perfectly round, unblemished, unbroken little wafer. And so maybe that brokenness, Christ's broken body with us and for us, maybe that's lost a little bit. Well, not today. Because today we will all of us receive a communion wafer which has been broken into, broken open, broken apart. And that little piece of bread will, I hope, be a reminder to us of the essential character of the God we see in Jesus, the God we worship. It's a God who knows from the inside what it means, what it feels like to be broken. It's a God who doesn't deny that brokenness, doesn't deny it, either in the world or in our lives, but promises that in God's good time, more can be mended than we now know. And most of all, it's a God in Jesus who, like a mother hen, like a mother hen when the fox comes, puts her body on the line to show us just how far love will go to save us. So listen again to those beautiful words from Barbara Brown Taylor. She died a mother hen, and afterwards she came back to them with teeth marks on her body to make sure they got the point that the power of the foxes could not kill her love for them, nor could it steal them away from her. They may have to go through what she went through in order to get past the foxes, but she would be waiting for them on the other side with love stronger than death. In today's Holy Communion, may the broken bread and wine poured out be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.